In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is my joy to be with you this morning, to share in the baptism of Margaret May, to be present with you in your worship here at Hot Gap, and to reconnect with so many friends that I see as I look out over this community of St. John's Parish Church. I'm reminded that I've been involved in other baptisms of members of this church, but in the creek right next to Sandy B's house behind down at Rockville, as well as being with you over many years of worship in this season. So what a blessing to be back with you today. I am Bob Lawrence. For those of you that don't know me, live here on John's Island and for many years was out at St. Christopher. So blessed to be back among you today. And it's a particular joy to be part of this baptism with Margaret May because of the connection I've had for years with the Hyers family. And as the Hyers family has grown to include the Loring family and the Bidding family, I baptized Kevin. I married both of Terry's daughters. So what a joy to continue that connection sacramentally in the involvement of the life of this wonderful family. So thank you, Jeremy, for extending the invitation to be here to share with them. Well, we are in the third Sunday of Advent. And just to recall with you some of what you just heard from Isaiah. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. From Psalm 126, when the Lord overturned the captivity of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. And from 1 Thessalonians, a verse near and dear to my heart. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Those of you that have any connection with me over the years at St. Christopher know that that verse, actually it's three verses, one of the shortest ones in the Bible, rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. That verse, or those three verses, were the internal mission for the staff to care for others, to care for one another, to worship, give thanks, and pray. So to have it be the appointed epistle for this day, to gather yet again to remind us all of what can be an internal mission for all of us, to worship, give thanks, and pray. What we do when we gather for common worship on Sunday, but what we can do and how we choose to live out our lives. So, what a joy to have that discovery in looking at the lessons that Jeremy asked me to use on this third Sunday of Advent. Well, I think you will hear echoed in each of those beginning sentences from our scripture. They all speak of joy and rejoicing. These wonderful acclamations for the God of all creation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God and Father of us all. All indeed characteristic of the tone and tenor of what is this third Sunday in Advent. Throughout much of the history of the church's observance of Advent, as you are continuing to do this day, this third Sunday has been recognized by that pink candle or rose-colored candle. Why the different color? Because this is a Sunday for rejoicing, a Sunday recognized as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete simply being that Latin word for rejoice. So if you've ever wondered, why is that candle pink? I remember as a child and even hearing it incorrectly explained, well, that's Mary's candle. We haven't heard anything about Mary today, have we? No, it's the pink candle to reflect the joy and the rejoicing that is characteristic of this week when we're that much closer to celebrating the birth of Jesus. I also think it particularly appropriate that even though this isn't a normal baptism Sunday, that we baptized a little girl today and we lit the pink candle for her as well. So remember that forever, please, that she was baptized on Pink Candle Sunday, if you don't remember anything else. Indeed, it is a time for rejoicing in the midst of hearing, as in the words of our collect, that God sent his messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and to prepare the way for our salvation. That the hearts of the disobedient would be turned toward the wisdom of the just. As we prepare for the second coming of Jesus, may indeed we be found acceptable in God's sight. We heard all that in the collect. You probably skipped right over it because it was early on in the service. But it's a collect very much focused on our need for repentance. And yet, our words from Scripture speak of a joy that's ours to share as a people called by God. A joy evoked in response to the gracious acts of a gracious and merciful God who has taken away the judgments against us, who's turned back our enemies, and who calls us to a new life lived out in rejoicing in him who gives us life. An abundant joy that is ours to share as Christians who know Jesus as Lord. Now, this particular Sunday, in which we have just baptized and welcomed into the household of God, Margaret May Loring, they speak of the promise of new life that is hers to receive in joy for the gift of new and unending life in Jesus. Indeed, appropriate that a pink candle is lit for her, for her Christian birthday. Well, in addition to these words of our lessons, we also heard in our gospel reading from John about John that we meet yet again. You heard about him last week too. He gets two Sundays in Advent. This man sent from God who came for testimony to bear witness to the light. This strange man who is described in the other Gospels as one from the wilderness who wore clothes of camel's hair and ate locust and wild honey. This man who preached in the earlier traditions of the Hebrew prophets like Isaiah and Elijah. This man who came to bear witness to the coming of Christ to make straight the way of the Lord. This man who baptized with water for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist, not one that comes readily to mind in our imagining of Christmas, and not one that seems to fit neatly into our commonly held Christmas stories. Somehow it just wouldn't seem right to have a little figurine of John the Baptist mixed in there in your crush scenes that you probably have on display in your house right now and even here in church. Why then do we have these lessons about John during Advent? Why this time when we anticipate the birth of Emmanuel, God with us? Most of us know of John, most of what we know of John places him as a contemporary of the adult Jesus. So why do we recall him at this special time of year before we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus? Many years ago, during my seminary years in New York City, and I'm really talking many years ago, in the mid-1980s, that truth was brought home to me in a very significant way. And I may well have shared this illustration in the past, even with some of you here at St. John's, because I know I've used it before. So if you've heard it, you can recall that you've heard it. But back in 1987, when we were at All Angels Church, where we connected as a family, my two oldest sons, then Stratton and Newman, were 7 and 5. And they volunteered to be involved in the annual Christmas pageant that was to be held on Christmas Eve in New York City. One not unlike the kinds of Christmas pageants that I know St. John's has had in the past and that many other churches continue to have on a regular basis. Well, they had rehearsals on several Saturdays prior to the program, and Lynn was always the one responsible for getting them back and forth. I was usually too busy studying for something. But I was very surprised when they came home after their first rehearsal and told me about their parts. Newman was to be a shepherd, fairly normal for a Christmas pageant, particularly for little boys. It can be, you know, stick on a bathrobe and a towel, and you're a shepherd. Stratton, however, was excited to tell me that he was to be John the Baptist. John the Baptist, I thought, how did he make it into this story? And why this non-traditional role for my child, who even in 1987 had already just had to play the part of the seventh candle of the menorah in his politically correct holiday pageant at his Episcopal school. Well, it was Stratton speaking as a child that reminded me then, when I asked him, why are you going to be John the Baptist? We don't just celebrate the birth of Jesus. We're celebrating an event of some 2,000 years ago, and we're celebrating the event of Christ's birth in our own lives. And it is John the Baptist who is one of those people who forever reminds us to prepare the way of the Lord. In today's gospel reading, we heard John say to his followers who were confused by Jesus, this is John speaking, you yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, John speaking of himself in relationship to Jesus. Him who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at his voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. There we hear it again, joy, rejoicing. This joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. Yes, to prepare ourselves for the advent of Jesus Christ into our lives today is to prepare ourselves through repentance. That's why we read this particular gospel during this particular time. For indeed, it is repentance that makes joy possible, and that which gives us reason to rejoice with John, that our joy, too, may be complete in Jesus. Repentance, that which makes joy possible. We've just gone through the baptismal service, and it's appropriate that it got added on this particular Sunday. Because all the lessons speak so much to what it's about. In fact, we have the story about Jesus and John still baptizing. But that baptism service itself just reminded us of our need of repentance, of our need to renounce, to turn away from those things which would distract us from seeking after the love of God, and to turn to, in belief and in actions, what the life of a Christian can look like. I would suggest to you that baptism is essentially a celebration of repentance, where one turns away from sin and turns toward seeking after the will of God. We are all reminded of that every time that we have the opportunity, such as we've had this morning, to participate and observe and witness a baptism, as we've done with Margaret May. We're reminded of it in a way that we too have that opportunity to renew our own baptismal commitment, as we did in our recitation of the Apostles' Creed. Indeed, John's baptism with water for repentance was that which was meant to prepare his followers for the joyful advent of their God in Christ Jesus. The joyful advent of our God that we anticipate in this expectant season of hope. A season that makes joy possible. Does the voice of one crying in the wilderness remind you of your own need of repentance? Of your need for repentance before you, too, can truly share in this joyful season? Of the new life that is available to you in Christ Jesus, if indeed he's been born anew in you? I dare say that for most, if not all of you, Christ has been born into your life in such a way that it is somehow different than it might be otherwise. But do you continually prepare your heart to receive Christ Jesus daily? Have you truly allowed him to take up permanent residence in your life? That's the challenge that the parents of Margaret May now have to help her to grow up and understand the promises that they just made on her behalf, along with all of us that said, we will. Do indeed we share in that proclamation of the good news of John the Baptist in encouraging others to prepare the way of the Lord? You know the answers to these questions. And if they are answers of which you are uncertain, then that is what this season of Advent is all about. It's for you. Use it to examine your own life and the evidence of Christ Jesus being born anew. Use the appointed scripture readings that you'll find in the daily office or in an Advent devotional that you might be using throughout the season in your personal prayers. Continue to participate in regular Sunday worship and in sharing at our Lord's table of Holy Communion. Indeed, this Advent is for you. Use it to prepare the way of the Lord in your life and in the lives of those you love and know. Use it such that you can receive with joy him to whom the prophet spoke, him to whom John the Baptist pointed as the anointed one, the Messiah, the bridegroom, the Christ, him to whom we can rejoice always and in all circumstances. For indeed, we worship the living God, the Holy One of Israel, who has come among us to free us from all sin and to give us the gift of his Holy Spirit and life everlasting. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. For he who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the message of John the Baptist, for us to prepare the way to receive anew our Lord Jesus in our lives. And if we are so moved to do as Jeremy suggests, to mark ourselves yet again with the waters of baptism, to mark ourselves in the name of the Trinity as yours for this day and forever, Lord, may that prepare us all for the remembrance of the truth and reality of God with us in the birth of Jesus, our Savior.